All right. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition. New episode. I think we're on number like 13 or 14 now. We're getting so far up there that I can't even keep track anymore. So we have a super cool guest on, Michelle Girola. She is a yoga instructor, yoga master, and she's also a new blogger. She's got a really cool blog. I've been reading it as she's been posting. I'm a yoga girl, which is a cool name for a blog. Now, truth is, I've known Michelle for many, many years, and we haven't been dialoguing too much, but we've kept in touch with each other on social media, and she's newly married too, and super happy, and she's got this big old smile on her face right now, and she's excited to be on this podcast, and I'm excited to have her, because she's got some great information for us. Welcome to the Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be here with you.
Cool. I really appreciate it. So tell the listeners, tell the folks a little bit about your background, how you got into yoga and how you got into fitness.
Okay, you bet. I started working out when I was in college and just started doing aerobic classes and things like that and lost about 20 pounds and kind of maybe was riding the line of high blood sugar, insulin resistance, but didn't quite know it yet. And so started into the fitness industry, but I was also in the food and beverage industry, kind of going one thing against the other. Moved around a lot and just did a little bit with the fitness, but landed in St. Louis and really liked it and stayed. And so as yoga came into the industry with fitness, I did pick it up. And I just really learned so much about what it can do for your psyche and your mental habits and your abilities to have willpower and things like that just in life. So just started getting into the yoga and, you know, learned and became an ambassador for Lululemon and started doing a lot of corporate work. So I work at places like WashU and Nestle Purina and teach to them corporate classes. And so I just started, you know, going on my own journey, but all along that I'd work out 20 or 25 hours a week and I would still have problems with gaining weight and I didn't really get it. I still kept the calories down, but I ate things like frozen yogurt for lunch, big old huge tub of frozen yogurt for lunch.
Right.
I thought it was easy on my stomach because it was smooth and it went down. I didn't realize I was causing myself to have candida and allergies to food and things like that, but I still kept on. But all through it, the yoga always helped me with digestion and relaxing. I was kind of a stressed kid and it really helped me with that, so that people would go like, how do you stay so calm? I'm like, I do like 20 hours of yoga a week. I mean, I'm in a moment. You can access being calm and being relaxed, or, you know, dialing yourself into something else. So it kind of goes into all different things. If you have health issues, you can tap into breathing. It helps massage your organs, the yoga does. So my practice has just sort of evolved that I have clients of different ages and I teach classes of different ages and things. Sort of found that people are asking me, like, what should I eat, or where do I get good running shoes, or, you know, what's a good recipe for the crock pot? So it kind of all evolved into starting a blog. So I just started the blog a few months ago and I collaborate with people and I also promote different products. Like, I had a post that I really loved. It's my 10 favorite things on Amazon. But it's not just, you know, shoot for the walls and order whatever you can. It's like I order collagen, which is like grass-fed beef collagen powder, and buy drinks, which are like my favorite drink. And it's like this. And I don't know if you
buy drinks. Ah, yeah.
So it's like 5 calories, but it's sweetened with stevia. And, you know, so those are things that people might choose instead of soda. And, you know, so like some other things that I put on there, some little nutritional bars, which are a good nutritional panel, and various things like that. But anyway, so I've started this blog, and I do different recipes or yoga routines or, like, stretches you could do for tight hips. And I've been meeting cool people, and I kind of feel like maybe that was why you reached out, but I was so glad to be able to be put in contact with your podcast because it's amazing.
Thank you. It is a cool blog, and I'm really enjoying it. And one of my biggest issues is tight hips. Hey, I wanted to ask you why specifically, and I know this for a fact for myself, Yoga really does help digestion. And I talk about digestion a lot in my podcast because it's foundational. You know, if you don't have good digestion, you can't upregulate any kind of vitamins or minerals or fats or anything you're putting in your body. And why does yoga specifically help so well with my digestion and others?
Well, to start off, just the breathing. A lot of people don't breathe deep enough into their diaphragm, getting enough oxygen to provide the nutrients that they need to do the digestive process. And so then the other thing is that everything you do is a push and a pull and an up and a down. And so you're massaging your organs, and it really does have a process and a reason. You then do twists, and it helps negotiate things through the large intestine and into the small intestine. So that's really a great reason why it's helpful. But then it's very grounding, which pulls things down. So that helps digestion go. It just kind of gets blood and oxygen into those little nooks and crannies that may not get it.
Right on. Yeah. And I would think too that digestion is really a parasympathetic state. Like, we cannot digest food if we're stressed and freaking out and, you know, standing eating up and running around the kitchen, feeding the kids and trying to eat at the same time. Our digestion is going to be terrible. But when we do yoga, it really brings that cortisol levels down. It relaxes us. It puts us in a parasympathetic state, which makes digestion work as well.
You're so very right. I mean, exactly. And it also puts your mind into the thought of, like, I can slow down. And so, yeah, sometimes it's necessary to eat while you're driving, but most of the time, you know, sit down and eat a meal and enjoy it and really even almost meditate on it. I even think to myself how much I love my husband while I'm folding his laundry. And so if I'm putting snacks together for him, or, you know, his school lunch is what we call it. And so if I'm putting lunch together, then I, like, have loving thoughts. And so I do that for myself, too. And I try to encourage others to do that. Like, love your body. Love the food you're putting into it. Don't put a bunch of chemicals and things you can't pronounce. But, like, even meditate and slow down as you're preparing.
Absolutely. That is, I try to get the family to sit down and just, like, say thanks or, you know, however anybody wants to do it. But relax that, be grateful for that food right before you eat it. And it really can help you put you in a parasympathetic state and help your digestion tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talking about type 2 diabetes, because most of our listeners have insulin resistance issues. So can you explain a little bit about how yoga can help you fight type 2 diabetes and how it's helped bring your blood sugars down?
Well, for one thing, it really helps you kind of be with yourself and sort of get to know yourself and see, this is only how far I can stretch, but then you can go a little bit further. But it helps you zone into your own body and see how you feel. And so you know that if you have too much sugars, and you can't wait to have the next sugars, you're waiting to have a nap or another brownie or whatever it is, then that's one feeling. But if you're in yoga and you just can't wait until the next stretch and you know that there's a break coming after this thing, it's really, it trains your mind to have willpower. And especially if you're going to a sequenced class where it might always be the same and you know, in 5 minutes I get a little break, you push yourself. And so maybe the first time you can't get that far, and then the next time you can get that far. And so it really gives you the mindset that you can do things that you put your mind to. So if it were something like insulin resistance or diabetes that you're dealing with, you already know that that's an issue. It might be frustrating, or you might think, I don't want to eat this way. Everyone else gets to eat all the junk, and I want to eat the junk. So why can't I do that? But you have to deal with you and what's your thing. So yoga really lets you tune into yourself. There's been a couple times where I've had the insulin resistance where it didn't matter that I exercised 30 hours a week at that time. If I ate anything like corn, it would turn to sugar, and then I'd have the insulin resistance. I was gaining weight kind of steadily. And, you know, I got married, and I joked that I ate too many fish tacos on my honeymoon. And then we kept on eating chips and salsa. And then, you know, little chips while we're waiting for dinner to be ready and things like that. And it was just too much. So, and cutting it down, I really had to make a big change because I already was eating really clean. But by change, I really cut out, like, the fructose of anything, and I cut out fruit and had more vegetables and had more, you know, things like yogurt or chicken in a salad and things like that, and no bread, no flour, no crackers, no anything like that. And the difference in the way that my brain felt afterward, and then the weight was just sort of steadily coming off, still with work. And it was, somebody said it was easy, but I'm like, it's not easy. I want to eat Twizzlers. Like, right, that's on. My go-to thing that I joke about. Like, I really want to eat a bunch of Twizzlers sometimes. I have a lot of clients who are over 80, and, you know, they're slower, and you have to really pull yourself down, but it's like you can't stay there. You have to get back up to where you are.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I would have the energy levels without all the sugars, you know? So I'm really, I've gotten it back to where my blood sugar's normalized. And that was just through, I call it the family slim down, but it was just through the process of eliminating those things which were spiking my blood sugar.
Absolutely.
And what I learned in one of your podcasts was about how chicken is kind of fooling, and it can also spike your blood sugar. So chicken was like the staple over here. And now I have some food allergies that I manage, you know, and have to stay away from things because they cause reactions.
Right on.
And those are things that I sort of have as a result of all the insulin resistance.
Yeah, yeah. Chicken can spike your insulin without even knowing it, or without spiking your sugar, spikes your insulin. And that stops you from losing weight when you have high insulin, and brings up your cortisol. So interesting. I really love the fact that getting to know your body inside and out, your thoughts, your emotions while you're going through yoga, and feeling, actually being able to feel what our bodies are doing is so important. And yoga can get you in touch with that, because so many people are so busy. They're up in their heads the whole time and chasing whatever thoughts that they have around, where yoga makes you go into your body, which makes you present to your body and lets you feel some things that people aren't used to feeling. It's just like kind of meditation in a way that you're really focused on not your thoughts, but inside your body with meditation and being present with whatever's there. It's the same thing you're talking about with yoga, is just training to be present inside your body during yoga.
It is really interesting, like you said. You know, there's a series called Ashtanga Yoga, and a lot of instructors will not teach the second series of that because of the heart opening that it does. And that has you so in touch with possibly past things which were hurtful to you, to try to let go of them. But it dives so much deeper. It's very personal. A lot of instructors don't want to have people experience that in their space, kind of like they feel unsafe when that happens. It really does help you learn what's going on in your body and you know, be able to get in touch with that. I've injured myself a few times in my life, not from doing yoga, but I was able to continue with yoga, and that's what really helped me and helped me be with the pain.
Right on. Absolutely. So something else you were talking about is your blood sugar spikes and eating, like wanting to eat Twizzlers or having some sugar cravings. For me, I really, if I get a sugar craving, a couple little tricks that I do is like nut butter, homemade nut butters, and or 100% dark chocolate, even with a nut butter, because there's no sugar in 100% dark chocolate. But our minds have this connection with chocolate and sugar. So I feel like when I eat the fat from the chocolate, it satiates me. But also my brain thinks I'm getting sugar because it's chocolate, and I'm totally satiated, and the blood, you know, the sugar cravings completely go away. What do you do? Do you have any tricks or tips that you do to eat some avocado or extra fat, or to get rid of those sugar cravings? How do you fight that?
Well, so newly on this family slim down, I would do like a couple of walnuts or a little bit of these bran crumbles that I have with the almond butter. Then I can just put a little tiny teaspoon of the almond butter and dip it into those little bran crumbles, and then take a couple bites of that, and I feel great. And then I've gotten total nutrition. There's nothing wrong. But I eat these one bars, and they have a little snack version that's about 2 inches long. So it's about 90 calories. But it's got 8 grams of fiber with it, and it's got a good amount of protein. So it's like 10 grams of protein, 8 grams of fiber. So you're getting like a very well-balanced little couple of bites of something.
Right on. Cool. So also, you were talking a little bit about, well, actually, let's talk a little bit more about your yoga routine. And can you explain a little bit about the best way for somebody with type 2 diabetes to get started with yoga, why they would want to do it, and how it's going to help them get moving around?
You bet. I mean, for someone who generally is getting type 2 diabetes, their lifestyle is kind of a more sedentary in the general, you know, not everyone. I've had the insulin anemia, and you can't look at me and think I sit on the couch and eat all the Twizzlers and stuff.
Right.
But most people, they would maybe need to just get up and start moving around, but then also, you know, have a good sense, as far as yoga goes, of what their body is doing and be able to generate for themselves, I'm in a low state of blood sugar, or this is how I feel kind of thing. And so with that said, starting yoga, you can start anywhere because it'll kind of meet you where you are. And with that being said, I mean, I know you came to my yoga class quite a few times. And I mean, I don't remember that you were doing a heavy workouts or anything, but you know, it's a lot to move up and down and up and down. And you stand up and you sit down and you stand up and you kneel and you stand up and you get down on the bottom. And you go up and down and up and down. So it's really set as like a formula, most yoga is. And so I'd mentioned that Ashtanga, that's a certain kind of yoga. And so most any class that would be for a beginner, or if you were going to start with a video or look at YouTube or something, it's really kind of just like they make so many different varieties of, we'll say, ice cream or books or whatever. But there's so many different kinds of yoga, you sort of have to see if this is a yoga that's for you. Anyone getting started can look at anything that is a sun salutation.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just have a seat and learn a little bit about breathing and then learn a sun salutation or two. And it's really very set up by itself so that it has a lot of up and down movements. You do some push-ups, you do some stretching, and you do some lengthening. And so you get all of your muscles, and you do some breathing at the same time. You get all of your muscles. So even if someone just wanted to learn how to do a sun salutation and did 5 or 10 of those in a row, they would see how each time they did them, they would be able to see their strength improving. It would allow them to stretch their joints and muscles, which would make them less painful. And you really can find weight loss through yoga if that's the style which you come upon as one that you like. A lot of people like a more relaxed and slow feel of yoga. Even in a more athletic style, you end with the slowness and the ability to breathe and get in control of your thoughts and your ability to ride with the slowness.
Right on.
Much at first, so they kind of do better with a little more action at first.
Yeah,
slowing down at the end.
I really like it. And one thing that you've touched on a few times is you can't, and you're living proof of this, and is that you can't exercise your way out of a bad diet. You know, you have to start with the diet and nutritional density, and you utilize the yoga or exercise to bolster your lifestyle. Because it's a healthy lifestyle. And I do 15, 20 minutes of yoga. I try to do it every day. It doesn't always happen. And I got this routine just from doing your class and other classes I've done over the years. I just put together a good routine for myself. Because I have hip issues because I have an ankle issue. You know, so my ankle is connected to my calf, which is tight, which is connected to my hamstrings. It's tight, which pulls on my, you know, hip, and my hip gets, you know, out of whack. So daily I have to do that. And if I don't do it in a couple of days, I can really, really notice, especially when I lay down in bed at night to sleep, my hips hurt. And so I got to remind myself to get those hips stretched out, which means I have to stretch everything else out also. But it's interesting because I just do it at home, you know, and I have my specific little routine that I've built over several years that works for me. You know, and I think everybody can do that if they just do a little research, try this class, try this video, try this YouTube thing, and see what kind of works for them, and then develop something for themselves. And my routine half the time has a 2-year-old on my back, you know, or underneath me, or, you know, grabbing on my head and wanting to play cowboy. You know, every time if he's around and I start stretching, I have to include him in my little routine, but it's doable, you know. Yeah. So there's like, I got kids, I don't have time to stretch. Doesn't work for me, you know. It's not an excuse. I just include them, you know. I do curls with him. You know, he's 40 yeah. pounds. He's a great curl bar, and he loves it. So can you talk a little bit about some of the excuses and things that people come up with? Because one thing I've always heard is, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible. And my answer to that is, no shit. You're not supposed to be. You're not doing yoga, right? And I tell people that there's no difference in somebody who's been doing yoga for 30 years and somebody who's been doing yoga for 15 minutes, because when you're in the stretch, everything's equal. Yes, somebody with 30 years experience can stretch a lot farther, but in the moment, you're both getting the stretch no matter how far you're stretching. You know, and that's the important part, is the actual in the moment stretch. So they're both absolutely equal in the moment. What do you think about that?
So I have a lot to say about that, because yes, that is what people always say. I'm not flexible. I can't do yoga. And I know I said to you before we even turned the thing on, it really meets you where you are. And I mean, anyone can do anything. I mean, a form of physical fitness testing is a sit and reach test, and that is a form of a forward fold. And so it's just a matter of, do you hinge at your hips? Did you just find out you have a back issue so you can't round your back? So, you know, you find balance, and anyone can find the balance. If you need to start out seated, they do chair yoga, so somebody can find out chair yoga. But there are modifications for absolutely everything. I can touch my toes and bend some, like I could stand on the second step and reach my hands down, but don't ask me to bend backward. I've broken my sacrum before, and I have all kinds of different issues in my back, so my flexibility in that direction isn't great, but I still practice it. It's always just practice. It's never a performance or this is set in stone that this is what this is. That's why it's really cool to do like what you're doing, your own practice where you know these are the moves I'm doing, but you can still probably see a progression as you do it a lot or don't do it for a little while. You can probably see a little, you know, regression.
Oh, absolutely. And because of my injuries, I'm limited and or do the best I can. But I really think I have to do them because of the injuries, or I'm just going to be a walking brick, you know, and that's no fun. You know, because I want to be energetic and loose and able to do those things with Max and play and get out there and do 10 hours or 8 hours of work, you know, and feel good about it. So I think it's super important. And I really like the fact that, you know, that we could talk about injury, you know, because especially if you're, you know, insulin resistant and you've been that way for a long time and you're, you know, 270 pounds, 310 pounds. And maybe you have some sore knees, sore ankles, your hips hurt. You know, my ankle was, you know, hurt when I was a kid. And there's all these little injuries or little aches and pains. How can yoga help with that in progressing, getting rid of these pains and making people feel better?
Well, that's a great question. So it always will bring more blood and oxygen into the tiny little ends of the muscles and tendons and joints and things like that, where if the circulation isn't that great, it might not necessarily make it to. Kind of think of one of those clown balloons that they stretch and stretch. Unless they keep on stretching those clown balloons, they won't be able to make those pretty designs, and it'll just make a little Popeye circle in the middle of the balloon.
Right.
And that's kind of how your muscles get. So the little ends don't get any blood or oxygen to them. And with diabetes, certainly circulation becomes an issue. And so feet and hands are, you know, sometimes cold or symptomatic of neuropathy or things like that. And so with yoga, getting the blood in circulation and the movement and the joints, but just modifying to whatever. I train this 80-something year old lady that I have for over 20 years. We do yoga on a bench, like a weight bench. So she has her whole hips sitting on the bench and legs are out to the side. She can do triangles. She can do all those things. But she's totally sitting on the bench. But she's stretching all the muscles. And so then she stands up and doesn't have the posture of somebody her age. You know, her posture is quite good and she's very erect and standing tall. And she still has little pains. But, you know, so somebody that I met recently that has a knee replacement, and she thinks she gained all this weight because of that. But for sure, she's in the insulin anemia or diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes type of range. So even someone like that can just sit on a chair and extend their legs out in front of them, start squeezing their muscles and working their muscles. They can lift weights sitting in a chair, just moving around. But yoga, it can start anywhere. It can be anywhere. So even if you've got injuries or what have you, there are modifications and things that can be done. But it's really good for those things because it gets all the blood and oxygen into little ends and into the area for healing.
That's awesome information. That's super cute. A little old lady doing her awesome yoga and doing the best she can. And you as her instructor see the benefits in her life, yeah?
Yes. And people tell her all the time how young she looks and about her posture. And, I mean, she can still lift a suitcase like there's nobody's business and, you know, stuff like that.
That's awesome. Good story.
I know. She's super cute.
All that she's stuff like, kind of.
And she loves my bar class.
Oh, right on. So you do other exercise classes still other than no yoga? You do cycling and.
I don't do the cycling anymore. I sort of had adrenal overload. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
So very.
Burnout with that. So I stopped doing that, and I'm doing more of a ballet-style fitness class called Bar, B-A-R-R-E. And the specific one that I'm doing is called Booty Bar, B-O-O-T-Y, Bar. And it's a fitness class, which is like ballet based. So you might do your arms like up to fifth position, up to second position with weight. And then you do things holding onto the bar like plie, releve, or some different kicks. Like I like the ballet style tendu and fondu and things like that where you're doing really extension. It's really cool, but it's very safe and good for your joints. And it sort of goes along with yoga because it's also mind-body, kind of keep the lights a little bit lower. And I use 2 pounds, no more than that. So I teach that class at some corporations where I work. One, I use chairs for the bar, but it's really works. You put the weights right on the chair, use the bar, I mean the chair for a bar. Really cool.
Uh-huh. Right on. You got any, 275-pound men in that class yet?
No, I do have one man that weighs like 180.
Uh-huh.
I call him Hugh Hefner because he came with 2 ladies on each arm.
Oh.
I call him Hugh Hefner. But I healed his shoulder.
Awesome.
I know.
Cool.
He's the only man with all the ladies.
Yeah, so yoga is extremely, extremely popular with the ladies. And they love it. But there's a lot of men doing yoga too. And why specifically should men do yoga?
I love that you asked me that right after I talked about Hugh Hefner. So at this corporation, I teach bar first, then I teach power yoga. And sometimes there are 10 men there. I mean, it's a big corporation, but sometimes there are 10 men there, only 2 women. And, you know, sometimes there's more. But men really are a little bit of a disadvantage as far as they're born with flexibility levels. You know, so it's not that men aren't flexible. But they're a little bit less flexible than women, where they're a little bit more likely to get strong, and their muscles are more likely to get strong right in the middle, in the belly of the muscle, than in the ends of the muscle. And so for a man to do yoga, it feels like he's too tight, but it's actually stretching that big belly of the muscle where he wasn't getting anything but big bulk, and then giving blood and oxygen into the little ends like I was talking about. So, I mean, for men to do yoga, it's so phenomenal because it'll help keep them pain-free. I mean, I broke my back 15 years ago, and I every once in a while I have pains, but I can reach and touch my toes. I can do everything that anyone else could do. I don't have to talk about that I broke my back because I did yoga.
Wow, awesome. So that's really interesting because yoga can actually help men become stronger if they're in the gym, yeah? Because they're stretching those muscles, getting more oxygen, getting more blood to them, and making them looser and more acceptable to growing muscle, yeah, when they hit the weights.
Exactly what I tell people. Because it stretches out that big belly in the middle and gives it a longer length, which gives it more room to grow. You're exactly right. It gives it more, it's available.
Right on. Awesome. So any last minute tips for somebody just getting started with yoga, if you could spread one little thing, one little tidbit that's going to help people getting started in yoga, what would it be?
Well, if you would, they could look at my shameless plug for my blog is imayogagirl.com. And I do have a post on there called What's the Deal with Yoga? And so I do sort of address the fact that it's a very elusive and scary thing to start. But I have a little video, a short video on there with some sun salutations on it. And you might just look at that and see there are so many different styles of yoga. So if that were my first move, that's what I would do. If that's not what you can do or want to do, then I would really just Google search beginning yoga and see what it comes up with and what intrigues you to look further. I learned from a man named Steve Ross, and he was in California teaching classes on the Oprah Channel. And he was very far away from what I thought was available. They just made a way that I could go and learn from him. And until then, I just learned from him on the TV or on the YouTube. And so you kind of just make it, it will come to you, but you kind of just look for what will work.
Right on. Hey, I like it. I'll put a little in the show notes. I'll put that little video on there for you. And of course, I'll put the imayogagirl.com blog in the show notes also, so people can reach you. Are you doing any coaching, any nutritional coaching, or any kind of coaching for somebody like that lives in Denver or Africa or Mexico or something that they want to get a hold of you? Are you doing any coaching over the internet or anything like that?
I am. I am holistically trained. So I have my personal training certificate, the yoga certificate, but I have holistic lifestyle coaching training and then my own experience with the resistance training. So I have done some through email. My email is xoxoyoga@me.com.
Right on.
Anyone wants to reach out to me.
We'll
offer nutritional coaching on any level.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes as well.
You're so cool.
Well, thank you for number one, listening to the podcast. And number two, thanks for being on Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here today. It was very fun talking to you.
Awesome. You have a great day and good wishes.
Thanks, you too. Bye for now.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.